May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, bless this time. Speak through Bob right now, Lord. May your Holy Spirit fill him. Lord, thank you for the gift of your word. We ask for your blessing upon it in our lives right now, Lord. We ask that we would not be the same because of the truth of your word working itself out in our lives, Lord. Thank you for this time. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm not the greatest Seahawks fan, but I don't think we need to worry about getting to see that game because they play tonight, right?
That's right.
So if we go until 5, we'll be okay. Let me just take a moment here to just once again express our thanks. Joan and I are very, very grateful for what CBF, and actually in our heritage of our relationship with this fellowship here, it goes back to the days when it wasn't CBF. It wasn't called CBF. It was called Rainier View Evangelical Free Church. And Calvary there came. But actually, there was a Skyway Church that joined together with the Rainier View and formed Calvary, and now you are CBF. And so the years of the association and fellowship with you all stretches indeed over many decades. And we just want to say thank you for sticking by the stuff, for being faithful on this end, to pray and to give so that we could go and be a representation of your heart that chooses to see that his blessed saving word would be shared with whomsoever, whether it be here or whether it be all the way around the other side of the world. And so just once again, thank you very much. And now, if we could just take some moments to turn to God's word. We read the scripture just a little bit ago. Your pastor did. Thank you for doing that. I just want to talk this morning on the theme of hope. I hope that you have hope. Now, pardon me for being a little bit redundant in that simple sentence, but it's true. And I know that having hope for our families that they will stay healthy, that's a good hope to have. Or I hope that if you're headed out on a trip this week, that you'll be safe. Indeed, you know, I hope that as you travel up, whether it's I-5 or I-405, you'll be kept safe. Just as a little bit of an interlude here in this regard, one of the most traumatic experiences for me in these recent months is to experience the ride on your freeways here. It is scary. And I love to get in the back seat and just look at the grandkids and not what's going on outside. But anyway, that's another thing. I hope that you have safety wherever you're going. I hope that you're making good friends. And if there's any of you younger ones, you know, a lot of you younger ones left and went downstairs. But one of the key things as you're growing up is to make good friends. I hope you make good friends. I hope your work situation goes well. All these things. There's many things that we need to hope for. In fact, as I said, you know, I think if you don't have hope, that's a terrible place to be. But, you know, there's more than just having hope in things. I want to just get to this point of talking about not the things, but the who. Who we place our hope in. That's important stuff. It really is. We read the text. Let me just read it one more time for you. I happen to be using the New Living Translation. It's a little bit different than the NIV, but it's very similar. Let me read it in the NLT, where it's Paul's prayer. And he says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Ooh. So just a few things that I want us to cover about this very important thing, about hope, this quality that we need to have in our life. First of all, let's just start right at the top, at the most important place in all of this, and that is to recognize who is the source of our hope. Who's the source? You know, is it God? Or is it all those things? You know, I think we just be honest with ourselves. Those things clamor for our attention. You know, it's not that we don't have them in Japan. We do have them in Japan, but you got these things called malls, you know, where you go to the Bellevue Square, the South Center. There are probably other ones around here. Oh, yeah, there's Northgate. That was around from a long time ago. Haven't been there in 40 years, but, you know, these malls, you go there, and if you're really honest about it, how many of those stores are selling stuff that you really need? You gotta have it before you get out of there to get home. Now, you maybe think that way, but that just is a little bit of a skew from the truth of the matter. There are other things that are more important. There's someone that's more important. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying go home now today and put everything on the free list of Craigslist. You know, I'm not saying that's what you ought to do. I'm just saying that there's stuff that needs to happen in the heart so that you realize who is your hope. And if you have things, then those things come from the one who gives you your hope, and recognize that you just have the privilege to hold them with open hands. You know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Sometimes the best thing that can happen to us is that some of those things are taken away. You know, not that they get put in, but that they get taken out. Anyway, that's another story, another subject. But you know, this matter of God being the source of our hope, let me just take a moment to just flip ourselves way, way back, probably about 2,700 years or so ago, and you say, man, that's old stuff. What's that got to do with today? But I want to take you back to these words. You've probably heard them before, spoken by a man by the name of Jeremiah. And he says, and he quotes God, who says, I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You've probably been familiar with those words if you have any kind of acquaintance with the Word of God. That's one of the favorite verses. In fact, do you know I saw a thing the other day noting that second on the list of the most favorite verse in the Bible is Jeremiah 29:11, second only to John 3:16. Isn't that amazing? Now, the other amazing thing is that perhaps some of us have not paid attention to the context wherein that verse comes, and when it was conveyed and to who. These are words that God gave to the children of Israel while they were staying in the Hilton Hotel enjoying the best of life. You got it?
No.
No. They were in captivity, way far away from home, without supposedly any reason to have any hope at all. And so these are words that were shared with the entire people. And they were words that were shared in the context of perhaps the darkest hour for the children of Israel. Think about that as you would bring that into your own life. God's word saying, I have the plan for you. Give you a future and a hope. You know that old saying about Mother Nature and a part of that? It says that the darkest time of the day is just before dawn. Maybe you're at that place. Maybe you're in that dark place. But if you know the source, if you know God, then you still can have hope. And so God is indeed the object of our hope. King David put it that way when he said, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. Let me rephrase that or repeat it. My only hope is in you. Not sometimes I hope in you, but my only hope is in you. And then let's move on quickly here to look at the measure of our hope. Where in this verse we are told that he will fill us up. The God of hope will fill you. You know, this is a beautiful term here. And we're not thinking in terms of sometimes the way in which we use it when we hear some friend or someone, you know, share a bunch of stuff that doesn't sound quite right, and we say, oh, you're full of baloney. God's not going to fill us with baloney. He is filling us up with what we need. And we're going to get on to see that. But it's a filling up to overflowing. To overflowing. Woo! That's good stuff, isn't it? That's great stuff. You probably can't find the same kind of thing anywhere else. Maybe you think you do, but it's only temporary. Because, you know, not long after you walk out of that mall and you've had that thing that you just thought you had to have, oh, man, you got to go back again for something better. See? Filling you up with stuff that really matters and is of eternal value. Well, let's just go on here a little bit and talking about this, the quality of what we're filled up with. Where he says he's going to fill us up with what? With joy and peace. Woo! Commodity. Well, that's not commodities. These are gifts from God, the source of hope. And I think as I look at our life with all of its modern conveniences and all of the rapid pace of which we live, which is exhibited so well out on our freeways, you know, in the midst of all of that, I wonder how many of us really have joy and peace. Things that we really, really need. Well, let me just go back a little bit here to remind ourselves that if we're going to have joy and peace, we got to remember that it comes from the one who gives it. That's important. It's only important for this simple reason that we might be tempted to look elsewhere. And when you're looking elsewhere, just remember, no, God is the giver of this joy and peace. So in your daily life, in your daily walk, I don't know what that may be in terms of any of its particulars. But can you think of anything better to have than to have joy and peace? Woo! That's pretty good stuff to have. You go through your daily walk. Well, you know, we all want joy and peace. But there's a stipulation that's given to us here in this verse for how we can have it. And we need to take a moment to talk about that. Where in the verse it says that we're going to have joy and peace because we trust in Him. That's important. And it is so hard to trust when we live in a day and an age when we can do so much ourselves. It is incredible what we can do on the internet. I am just totally astounded by it. I am totally disgusted by it sometimes. It's frustrating. But the point here is, if we go to the place where you feel, if you're at the place where you feel like you can have control of things and you've got it under control so you don't need God, you're walking on very thin ice. It's not a safe place at all. Because the point of life, we were created in that we might trust in our Creator. I remember many years ago, I was at a junior high camp as a counselor. And one of the things that we did was this trust experience. And you know what we had to do? We had to get up on this stump, you know. And you got to stand on that stump, and all your supposed friends are back here behind you. And you know what your assignment is? Fall over backwards. Anybody want to volunteer right now? Huh? Well, that's not really the way it is in our relationship with the Lord. We're not falling back into something. We're moving into the most secure place we can be. Because he says, come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you all you need. And so the question comes, are you trusting in him? Are you willing to just hold things that he gives to you this way rather than this way? Incidentally, you know, you can hold a lot more when you do it this way than if you do it this way. We don't think that way, but there's a lot of truth in that little simple illustration, isn't there? So trusting. We sang a couple of old hymns this morning. And by the way, thank you, Carol. I love to sing old hymns. It's just a reflection of what I look like and all of that. But, you know, there's that old song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus Christ, my Savior. I'm secure from all alarms. Whew! It's a great song. Probably haven't sung it in years, but just let those words just resonate in your heart, will you? To realize that we got to trust. A little bit more here. How do we have peace, this joy and peace? It says the Holy Spirit lives in us. Robert Munger many years ago talked about, you know, our home and Christ coming to reside in all the rooms of our home. Let him come in. Let the Holy Spirit live. Let him take control. The verse says, then we will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it gets back again to where we started. God is the source of our hope. And the way in which we're going to have joy and peace is as we just commit ourselves to him and the Spirit comes in and takes over. You know those words in Galatians 5, that list? Remember that list? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of hard work. No, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Let the Spirit work. Walk in step with the Spirit. Well, good news right now is that we're done with plenty of time before the Seahawks play. But I want to just close asking you, who is your hope? Who is your hope? Not just some kind of a mental ascent, but something that just really controls the heart. Because you see, it's not just up here, it's down here. Who is your hope? Martin Luther, by the way, he's a guy who lived just a few years ago, almost a half a millennia years ago. He said this, it is possible to have joy and peace only as one believes in and trusts in God. Because joy and peace do not rest upon tangible things, but rather upon God, the God of hope. Not those good words? Put it right there for us. You know, in our world today, I think so many of us live for the here and the now. We forget the past, and we deliberately ignore the future, all so that we might live for the joy of the present moment. Every advertisement you hear talks about bringing joy for now. And again, I'm not saying that every one of those ads is wrong or anything of the sort. I'm just thinking together with you that there's maybe a better way. And the better way is to remember the past. How do we remember the past? We remember the past, though I can't see it up here, but I think there's a cross. You remember the past by looking at the cross and remembering the empty tomb. Because at the cross, all of our sins are taken away. And because Jesus rose again from the dead, victorious over sin and death and hell, we do have the victory and we do have great joy and peace. And then as we look to the future, we know that because of what happened at the cross and the empty tomb, we do have a great future hope and a hope that doesn't disappoint. Doesn't disappoint. That's good stuff. And if you've got these two ends in perspective correctly, then the present becomes a time of great joy and peace. Can't get any better. Well, thank you for going with me to God's Word for these moments. Let me just read the words again, and then we'll close with a word of prayer. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. God, we worship you, we bow down before you, and we would choose in this moment to once again recognize that indeed you are the source of our hope. Unto you and only unto you would we go. Wherever we may be in life, whatever the things may be that are going on, though the moments may be dark and the burdens may seemingly be heavy, help us to know that you are there and you give us a hope because we have Jesus who gave himself, gave all so that we might have all. Guide and direct us. May we walk as those who have a hope that is uncommon to this world because it is a gift from your loving hand. And that we might share that with those around us who need to know you. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.